Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of The Drive underway. Rose LeBaire back with you on the show this afternoon. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Here is the intern to be named later. Do you want to know where we're at right now with the poll?
Yeah, I haven't voted
random,
yet, so I'm not
random
sure.
Random person on the air with us? All right. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Out question. What should we call the new guy? 69 votes cast. Nice. 48% of the audience is going with Guy. 28% is going Trey. 17% say Pat. 7% say Ray. So we could pretty much cross Ray off the board. Looks like you might be Guy.
Just Guy.
We're going to have to put something with Guy, though. I feel like he needs – we got to put something with Guy.
What do you mean put something with Guy? He's going to have a last name. He's going to be Guy Patterson. He's not going to be just Guy.
Okay. Guy Patterson.
GP3.
No, I hate GP3.
Why do you hate GP3?
You hate Tugboat or Boat.
I don't hate Tugboat. I just like that can't be his name. It can be his nickname, but.
Well, that is Tugboat's your nickname. But it's like his radio name, Guy Patterson.
Guy Patterson is pretty strong.
GP3, I don't like.
All right, go to at Fox Sports Knox.
I can deal with Guy Patterson.
All right, you go ahead.
All right, starting off, number one, we got a little Masters update. Today, first day, Thursday, kicking off the Masters tournament. Several people still playing right now, but we have a three-way lead at the top of the leaderboards right now. Hideki Matsuyama, Brian Harman, and Patrick Reed all at the top with a minus -3.
So we're still very early, right? There's a lot of big names probably that – we've got quite a few in the clubhouse, but we've got a lot who are still on the front nine too. So long way to go there.
Well, the leading champion from last year, Dustin Johnson, finished today 2 over par.
Hold on. What's going on here? You're doing my whole
It's called the top
update
four
thing.
Four.
You just talk about it briefly, and we'll go on to number two.
The lead story? We can't we'll let you do it later. Can we, please?
So, the three guys that are part of the FanDuel thing, Spieth, McIlroy, and Johnson, are all, I think they're going to make the cut. I mean, right now.
Are they flirting with disaster? Yeah. Molly Hatchet?
Spieth is even right now.
It's probably going to be 3 or 4. I mean, I like some of the big, so.
When did they go out? Because I heard it was rough conditions this morning, and I heard it was going to be even tougher in the afternoon.
I think they've been out all day.
Yeah, I think it started.
We are 1 hour and 3 minutes into the show, and I'm just now realizing that the Masters is on the TV right in front of my face.
Can you just let us do the thing? And those of us who have been paying attention today, Joe Long, one of the amateurs, not doing well right now. Joe Long of England shot a 10 over 82. Former champion Sandy Lyle shot a 9 over 81. We've got American amateur Tyler Strafashi shot an 8 over 80. And poor Larry Mize.
Yeah.
He's struggling out there, man. 10 over through 16. We'll see if he can get out of there without having the high spot now. He might.
All right. Go ahead. Moving on now. Number two, UCLA has given Mick Cronin a 2-year extension on his contract. And they've also given him a raise. He is now under contract through 2027 and will now be making $4 million a year.
He's probably up from what, like 2.5?
He made 3.3 this last year.
Oh, 3.3. So he only made a $700,000 raise.
Well, on his contract, his first year, he was making 3.2, and then it went up to 3.3, and then by the end of his contract, his original one, it was going to be at 3.7. Now I think it's just set at $4 million straight across the board.
Guy takes UCLA to a Final Four, and he's still making $1 million a year less than Rick Barnes, who the only reason we bumped him up that high is because he was about to take that job. I don't get it. That's okay.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's sports money. It's not real life. Just whatever.
All right, number three, the Golden State Warriors president and COO, Rick Welts, announced that he will retire at the end of the year. Welts has been in the NBA for a very long time. He got a start in 1969 as a ball boy and personal coffee go-getter for the Seattle Supersonics.
Personal coffee go-getter.
Yeah, for Bill Russell. He was Bill Russell's personal coffee guy.
That was like his only job?
And ball boy. Oh. But that's what he started out as in the NBA. He's officially retiring. He's also pretty well known, or I don't know if he's pretty well known for it, but the first openly gay COO in the NBA.
What's his name again?
Rick Welts.
From the Warriors? Yeah, okay, I remember that guy. Yeah. He's young.
Yeah, I think he's only like 64.
Okay. But, Godspeed, Rick Welts.
And lastly, Deshaun Watson appears to be fighting back against some of these allegations. His lawyer has filed a motion to identify at least just one woman who has filed a lawsuit against him.
I thought two of them spoke out earlier.
Two have. Out of the remaining, is it 19 other?
But if two are speaking out, presumably they're public, right? They put their names on it. Mm-hmm. Then why are you
The rest are all still anonymous, so the lawyer is wanting some of these other names to come out. And because they're all individual, he would have to file a motion for each individual lawsuit against him. So he's just filed a motion for one person to release their identity.
So if I've not been keeping up with this as much this week, but nobody's going to trade for him right now with this going on. This is not going to be resolved anytime soon. What happens when we get to camp in July?
He's not. I mean, he won't be there. He said he's not. He's not playing for them ever again.
So he's probably not playing football this year.
Probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
How long do you imagine it would take to walk through this minefield if you've got this whole deal with him now, but then over here you've got all kinds of problems with that guy just refusing to show up for work, and they still want him to work.
Well, do they? I mean, if he hadn't demanded the trade and this was happening,
this wouldn't be that's still where I'm at.
No,
I wonder if this would be happening.
It would be happening
had he not been so vocal.
But why are you trying to say that the Texans might have set this up? Why would they intentionally sabotage?
Doesn't make any sense?
Because they're completely the most moronic franchise in the history of sport.
But
aren't these the guys that got like the big church televangelist in as their GM?
Okay, but what he's asking you is, what do the Texans have to gain by doing this?
I mean, that's it. That's why it's so tricky. Like, I highly doubt that he's completely innocent.
The word you're looking
innocent.
For is nothing.
It seems like an awful lot, but it seems like an awful lot of accusations from a lot of different people. If it was one or two, I mean, I'm arguing both sides of it. You have to admit it.
Well,
in some respects,
argue the side you're taking. What is the Texans' gain by trashing Deshaun Watson like this?
I think I sometimes wonder if they're just scorched earth and just that it's that bitter and acrimonious behind the scenes between the owner and him.
But when you go scorched earth, you have something. You're an outcome that you are seeking.
Yes, they want to destroy Deshaun Watson's career.
We're going in circles here, but why would you want to do that? I don't.
Because they don't. Because
just,
he's just refused.
Personal spite. You just don't like the guy.
I think you're underestimating.
They could have gotten what, 2-3 first round picks for the guy.
I'm telling you, sometimes you can get so mad about a situation or at somebody personally,
but they're not.
It doesn't matter. I've done it.
This is not a scorned lover. This is a business.
Yeah, I know.
With billions of dollars on the line.
Mine didn't involve billions of dollars on the line, but it.
We've all been in places where I hate you. I never want to see you again. This is not
No. Just I'm talking like scorched earth, be hell bent on destroying the other person.
I can understand where you're coming from. I just don't think it's very likely.
I'm not saying it is, but since I have been in a scorched earth kind of situation myself personally, not on that level or in anywhere in that reality of money. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Person reading the top four at four. That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. You can check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. I just set up my next appointment with them this morning. Very easy to do. All you got to do is call 865-539-1776. That's 539-1776, Knoxville Smiles. You can take the virtual tour of their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facilities online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Our number is 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. When are we talking to John Hodge today, Bear?
At 4:20.
Beautiful. Hodgey will join us to talk about the Masters coming up here in just a second. Very much looking forward to that. Rusty Enzer will join tomorrow. I've confirmed that.
Awesome.
Yesterday we had the Rusty stat. What was the Rusty stat yesterday? This is the biggest series starts tomorrow against Florida since, I think, 2005 against South Carolina. The biggest home series in 16 years for Tennessee baseball starts tomorrow. Now, this is the type of guy Rusty is. He's always a pump the brakes guy, all right? Before we start going overboard just yet, consider this, Bear. Consider this. The combined SEC record of Tennessee's first three opponents, so that's what, Georgia, LSU, Bama. Their combined record, 6-21. Now, granted, we have won
seven
of those, but their combined record, 6-21. The combined SEC record of our next two opponents, Florida and Vandy, 13-5.
Yeah, we're coming up on this is it. We're at that point in the season. It's kind of like when we get down
to get real.
Georgia, Alabama in football. It's that time.
Let's get Westchester in here. Westchester, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
What are you saying, W?
Philly, hang right there. We're going to get Westchester. Bear struggling a little bit today. Westchester, hey, you're on the Drive. Good afternoon, sir.
I hate to take the mayor's time. I'll try to be quick here. So I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. When I call next week and say the same thing that Gabriel said about Barnes, I'm still going to be wrong, right?
Can you say it like Gabriel said it?
Probably not. No one can. Bear, you said something on the show, I believe yesterday or the day before, that Hops and Hollers was your last live remote.
Pretty sure it was.
That was in the fall.
Unless the food city, I know we did a food city one. We did a couple of remotes for Terrapin.
Yeah, I thought the food city one was, and the reason I bring that up is that's the day that you officially retired yourself from the top 4 at 4 and top 5 at 5 and just refused to do it, and then Russ was sat there and gave you grief for 2 hours about how easy it was and he didn't understand why you couldn't do it.
I didn't refuse to do it.
And then within about a week and a half of him doing it, he'd already schlepped it off to someone else.
Well, yeah.
Why are you bringing this up, Westchester? What's the point? I don't understand.
And we got Phil on hold. This is what we're talking about.
I just think it's funny that we've had three different guys do the top four since Bear didn't want to do it. I think we should.
I was just ready to retire. I did my run. I got my hands full here. Westchester.
You don't like the way this person next to me just did the top 4 at 4?
Well, y'all are still basically taking it over and running it. I don't know,
Well, no, he brings it.
I
mean, do we have to explain how this segment works? He brings the topics to the table, and then me and Russ.
That's how it works, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's hope baseball has a good weekend. See you guys.
Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate the phone call.
Wow.
Not really sure what the point of that was, but forward we go.
Back to our regular programming.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What are you saying, David?
Philly?
How you burn 3-6 train on?
3-6 train. Okay, we'll put that in the pile. Doing well. Thank you.
Are y'all doing all right? It's great.
Yeah, by the way, we will be back at Hops and Hollers tomorrow. A special 8-hour Fan Run presentation, 12 till 8 p.m., tomorrow we'll be there on behalf of our friends at Inward Half. Inward Half to benefit First Tee of Greater Knoxville. You can win a $125 shopping spree. We're giving away two of these, one during Talk Sports from noon to 3, and then one during the drive from noon to 3. Edward has some great golf apparel, hats, tees, great golf shirts, stuff like that. So be sure to stop by to register for that. Hops and Hollers tomorrow, fan run there from noon to 8.
That's an interesting conversation y'all had about Tennessee basketball. You know, the reason why we're in this situation is because the two coaches who thought they could take Tennessee to a national championship were both curtailed from continuing coaching here.
Do you think Barnes thinks he can take us to a national championship? He's just...
I don't know. I think deep down, Ray Mears and Bruce Pearl thought they could. But I just don't... I don't know if Rick Barnes has got it in him to take us to the Final Four. Well, I hope he does.
I'll agree with that, but I think he is a supremely confident person. I think he thinks he can make the Final Four, just as not, if not more so than Bruce Pearl and Ray Mears did.
Well, he's not very confident during the ball games, though. You watch his coaching?
I think he is. He just he's stubborn, man. He's in his own world. Like, if he heard us talking about it now, he'd be like, oh, there's a bunch of bozos, man. They don't know what they're talking about. And it's just he's got – his style. Now, the thing I'm worried about is what Bear was saying, is he the coach that is he Jeremy Pruitt? Not saying that he's that dumb, but, like, is he the guy that is still trying to line up with two tight ends and a fullback in 2018, 2019 when the rest of the sport has transitioned to a spread offense attack? Is that what Rick Barnes is on the basketball side? Everybody else has gone to a spread offense in basketball with three-point shots and layups, and he's still trying to run the picket fence play with popping for a mid-range jumper.
I could compare more Rick Barnes after a former won the after a 2001 SEC championship.
And I'll say this: I don't think that when Barnes first got the job here, I got to go over there. His first year, he did a thing where he hosted a couple of folks in the media. We went up to the practice facility and sat in the film room with him, and he went through extensively their fast break setup, and he was talking about how they borrowed, and this is what, 2015, 2016, whenever he first got here, he was talking about how, you know, they coach it the way I think the Houston Rockets did at the time, which, you know, that was when D'Antoni was still there. And they're spreading the floor, and guys sprint to either corner, and then the point guard drives it over the nail and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, he does have a modern approach, but it seems like particularly Ned Oates and Eric Musselman are embracing an even more modern philosophy that he is hesitant to embrace.
Yeah, that's what shooting more three-pointers is what their philosophy is. It's all about, you know, the metrics of it and everything.
Well, the efficiency of the shot. And the metrics show that the mid-range jumper is not a very efficient shot. And he's, so far, sticking with that as a focal point of his offense. And, hey, we'll see if it works. I mean, Gonzaga seems to play that way, certainly more so than Baylor did. They had a nice season. But we'll see, Phil. I think I'm not holding my breath.
Since he's been here, his best years is when he had pretty good point guard play. He had Bone, and then he had Amonte as Beckley's backup point guard when we had those good years. Now he's got Kenny Chandler and whoever that we get to go with him. It's going to be interesting to see. These last 2 years, we haven't had a good point guard, and that's the reason why we were mediocre. It's pretty simple. It's just like quarterback football.
And the 1 year that they went to the Final Four at Texas, his best year, you had T.J. Ford running the show.
Yeah. Just let this kid play, because he probably won't be here too long. Yeah. Just let him play. I thought Barnes can't be browbeating him too much, you know what I mean?
Man, must be hard to play point guard for Rick Barnes. Phil, thank you, man. We got to run. John Hodge joins us next. We're going to talk the Masters, a tradition like none other. When we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Everybody, like, but it'll be, hey, this is so-and-so, and we've got your such-and-such but some of the words are messed up and it's jumbled and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes enough sense to where you kind of read it, you get the gist of it, you know what it is, right? I think we all are familiar with that. And Bear goes, well, what do mine read like? Well, Bear's probably the only person that actually leaves me voicemails. I get a lot of... Turn your mic off. I get a lot of automated... Most of them are automated, right? Bear's the only one. And he said, and this is actually really funny. This turned into a thing. So what do my voicemail... What do they look like? So I said, it says, here's one. And I guess a curse word is just, it leaves it blank. It literally leaves a blank. So here's a message from Bear, November 9th, 2019, 8:14 p.m. Do you know I was just calling to chat with you for just a blank suck at Robbie about whether or not maybe we ought to blank blank it. I'm driving blank blank blank.
The other one's funnier.
All right, this is 46 seconds. This is from October 19th, 2019 at 8:11. This must have been after the Bama game.
Yeah.
Blank son of a blank 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 blank. Turn in the blank store. Do you still want to blank phone when I'm calling blank? Oh, lady, I blank. You're done. You never need be blank anything. You can call me your last name. Answering you blank. We're going to go down a blank, talk to lose a good blank, blank, pushed in blank. You can't
I know what that was.
You can't even, if you know, cheer me up a little bit rough, blank. So blank, 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 blank. All right, man, call me back.
We have our guest, by the way.
Oh, good. Let's bring him on. John Hodge is on the G3 Help Me Hotline. John Blanken Hodge.
You know it.
What's up, buddy?
It's destiny that Phil called right before you had me on because I was thinking the same thing about Barnes, except that there's a little bit of difference. My travel business took a big hit, so I turned into a sports gambler last year and for a living, and I watched more basketball this year than I ever have, and Phil and I go back to Ray Mears, so I don't know what he's speaking of, and shout out to Philly, but the difference between Barnes and Fulmer is when the football player would make a bonehead play, Fulmer would just stand there and clap, and then when a basketball player has a steal that, you know, wasn't necessarily a terrible mistake. Somebody just made a great play. He just rips them in it. And that's what the difference I noticed in all the games I watched, especially in the tournament, there's blatantly one team had less fun than anybody else out there in the tournament. And it was obvious.
Yeah, I think we've all had that observation about Barnes. He is not afraid to chew his players out publicly. It's always, but that's interesting comparing it to Fulmer, where he was always very encouraging and people would give him grief. Remember, like, oh, there's Fulmer clapping on the sideline.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's right to encourage him. I was giving him grief too because he was atrocious. Yeah.
But who had greater success with it? And Rick Barnes has had a lot of success, but I think there's something to be said for positive encouragement and.
Right.
You know, I know that Coach Fulmer, I saw it firsthand because I used to go to practices under him, and he'd dog cuss and rip his players apart just as good as anybody. But publicly, he was always very supportive. And Barnes, you know, he'll chew his guys out right there on the sideline. But also after the game, it's, hey, Coach, what's wrong with this team? Well, we got to get better post play. Well, we got to do, you know, and he might not do it by name, but oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's
not a huge. I was thinking it was some kind of bizarre plot to maybe try to keep Corey down so he'd Keon down so he'd come back next year.
No, I don't think so. And I'll say I don't think that Tennessee basketball players have a negative experience. I think they all enjoy being in that program, and I think they all really like Barnes and the way he pushes them, I think they like that. You know, Grant Williams always talked about that. and admiral.
They like to be coached. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think those alpha dog types like Grant and Admiral and Keon and Jaden Springer, I think they like that. I think they need that. And they recognize that. But I do think there are some guys who maybe aren't on quite on that level that maybe don't handle that quite as well. And quite honestly, I wonder if that was a little bit of what happened with Fulkerson this year. There's a lot of pressure on him to be the man coming into the season. And I know he had some problems off the court and everything, but I didn't
notice it as much this year, maybe because it was – so soon after the football browbeater, you know, because everybody hated playing for that guy. So that's what I was afraid of, is people are, you know, the players are going to start thinking, man, I don't really want to play for Barnes anymore, you know, and telling recruits that or something like that. That's just what I was more worried about, is, you know, don't be negative all the time. Even with that mask.
Well, he's not changing.
He's just ripping them.
I don't think he's changing. He's 67 years old, Haji. I don't think he's changing. I think he is who he is, and he is set in his ways, and I don't think it's all bad. I mean, I think they can be successful that way, but it's gonna take some special players and special talent and a couple of breaks along the way. But I think at this point, Rick Barnes pretty much is who he is.
Yeah, and you don't really get nicer as you get older, as I've found.
Well, we'll see. John Hodge with us this afternoon on The Drive. Haji, our resident golf guru today, of course, day one of the Masters. Haji, what's standing out to you so far? And
the Masters and a U.S. Yeah. Open broke out.
Yeah,
the course conditions are tough, even
big
though
scores.
There's not a lot of wind. It's just firm and fast, and you're seeing. Last year, 53 players were under par after the first round, and I think it's 11 right now. So just a And that was in November, obviously, and it rained right before the tournament and quite a bit. So it's a completely different golf course, but it's going to be interesting. It's not going to hold, I guess. There's a pretty good chance of rain Saturday, I guess. Maybe a small chance Friday and Sunday. So it'll be a little bit softer, a little different. I don't want to see a complete train wreck all over the golf course, but nice to see the fans back in. Oh, by the way, real quick, how about Geek?
Who?
For your poll question.
Guy
LaDouche.
Is that a golfer?
For Guy.
Oh, for Guy.
Instead of Guy, Guy.
Yeah, we'll workshop that.
MXC. Am I the only one that ever saw it? Am I that old? Most Extreme Elimination Challenge?
Evidently, yeah. That one went over my head, but we will put that.
That one.
Yeah, we'll put that
Japanese
in.
Japanese game show like Wipeout, except with the overdub. still,
oh, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, those guys are they're running across the big rubber balls or something and just smashing face
right,
first.
You are, Ken. That's right.
All right.
Guy LaDouche was the host. Anyway, back to the Masters.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. We had this big FanDuel thing where they give you 20-1 odds for first timers this week, and it was if. All you had to do was pick amongst Rory, Spieth, and DJ to make the cut. So it's one of those things to, you know, get folks in there, try and FanDuel. And right now, I mean, I know it's obviously early, but Spieth at 1-under is the only one of those guys that's even under par right now.
Yeah. Rory 4-over, DJ 2-over. My favorite storyline of the tournament so far is the guy that said that last in November, he said that it's a par 67 for him. You remember who that was?
DeChambeau. Yeah, four
that
over.
He rolled that back a little bit, said it's a par 68 for him. And I don't think he's found the golf course with a tee shot yet. So,
oh, wow.
I'm enjoying watching that explosion. I don't know. I haven't seen anything on him in the last 45 minutes or so, but he was 3-over through 6 or something. Let's see if I can find that. 4-over at the turn. Good.
Some guys out there struggling.
So, you know, you would want to be in the top 15 after the first day, and that's where your winner is going to come out of that group. It may be a little bit different this year, I think, just because of the way the course is playing this year, and there's so many good players that are at, you know, that 2 to 3 over spot. I'm sure the guys that are on the course right now, if they're around even par, they'd love to get to the house even and, you know, take their chances on the, you know, the next 3 days, see what happens from there.
Haji, how much does the tournament miss? How much does the golf world miss? Tiger Woods, obviously, 2 years ago, such a great story, him climbing the mountain again and winning another green jacket. And since then, a lot has transpired. And right now, I mean, he's wondering, is he going to be able to walk again, let alone play golf? Just your thoughts on Tiger and the shadow that he casts over this year's tournament.
Well, on the after the wreck, I thought about Payne Stewart because he, you know, he beat Phil Mickelson in '99 in that U.S. Open and one of Phil's close calls at one of his 5 or 6 second places in U.S. Open, which is the only thing he's missing in his Grand Slam. And I was pulling for Mickelson then. And then later, you know, 4 months later, Payne Stewart was gone. And so it was kind of similar when, you know, even though there was a Masters between the Tiger's win and the wreck, it was kind of similar where Tiger could have very easily been gone after that wreck. And so it would have been so much more, you know, fantastic that he won, you know, another Masters after coming back from all those surgeries. Now, if anybody can do it again, it's him. But, you know, it's way too early to even talk about it. But everybody's missing him around there, of course, you know, on the Champions Dinner on Tuesday, and just having him out there competing, it always makes it a better, more interesting tournament.
No doubt. Haji, we'll get you on tomorrow to talk more about the leader. Before we let you go, Josh Heupel, new football coach, Tennessee. I don't know. It's just so hard for fans, I think, to get their give a darn up these days after everything that's transpired the last 12, 13 years. Are you giving this guy a chance going forward?
Got to, because the offense, you know, the game's changing where, you know, it used to be everybody had in the SEC especially, you know, it was all about defense. But now everybody just, it's a scoring fest. And you say defense win championships, but it's who can outscore who now. So you got to give him a chance. And if he can do it this year, get some, you know, show that his offense is going to work and he's got some potential with the players he has, that's going to help in recruiting, obviously. And then that's going to attract some, you know, a quarterback or two. And then that'll translate into receivers and, you know, offensive linemen that want to play in that system. I worry about the defense not staying on the field or being off the field not long enough, you know, not get enough rest. If he doesn't have the players, he's running that offense and it's a lot of three and outs, then I worry about what's going to happen to us on defense. But, yeah, give the guy a shot. His stats speak for themselves.
Yeah, my take is we're not going to like the defensive coordinator. And nothing against this Banks guy. He seems like a good enough coach. But whether it was going to be him or Martinez or Kevin Steele or whoever, I just think when you play offense like that, the way Heupel is talking about, like you're saying, there's going to be some three and outs. And so you're going to put your defense in tough positions. And then add it on. I mean, this just the rules right now are such against the defense that nobody plays good defense anymore. And that's one of the things Saban was talking about in that clip that went viral last week where he said, look, 10 years ago, 13 points a game was our goal defensively. Last year, Bama gave up 19 points a game and led the league, led the SEC. They were the best defense in the league, but still, like, that's nothing what they used to be. So I just think we're going to give up a ton of points no matter who it is, it is going to drive us all crazy. So whoever was going to be DC had to be ready to take that challenge on.
That's to take the heat. Yeah, and Alabama has the cover at halftime. It seemed like every year at halftime, he could just put the subs in and let whatever happens in the second half. So they're a well-oiled machine always. But I'm going to just go ahead and throw Rahm out there as my pick. He had a son on Sunday, and I don't want to wait till he goes low and then be a bandwagon jumper if he does tomorrow. But a new child on Sunday, Russ? When you had your first child, weren't you just like on top of the world? Anything could happen?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's an amazing feeling.
He's like a little high. He's one of the more high-strung players out there, and he's just relaxed. You can see he has no, you know, he's not getting mad about anything.
Is he the best player right now, never to win a major, him and Westbrook,
sure.
Maybe?
Rahm
for
and
sure.
Who?
For sure Rahm is, yeah. He's third in the world, and he's had three straight top tens at Augusta, so no reason to expect he won't be there on Sunday. I fully expect him, and my wager expects him to be there on Sunday wearing the green jacket. Let's hope.
Has he been in contention before going into the weekend, like had a shot to win it and just fell by the wayside?
He's had three top tens, but he hadn't. It's not like
he's not gotten up in that dogfight up at the top that it always seems to come down to on Sunday.
Not that I recall.
Haji,
the guy that surprises me is Justin Rose, who hadn't played any golf lately. He's had some back issues all year. He played no golf, and he's just three under on the last four holes and tied for the lead. So that's pretty impressive.
Do you have any?
Go ahead.
Do you have any position on what we should call our new intern?
Gee.
That's he says we call him Gee instead of Guy.
Gee.
That's what I was getting to.
I'll have to marinate on that.
All right. Haji, enjoy the tournament. We will check in with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. See, hey, I did have something on its way over there. Hopefully it'll get to the station before you go to the remote. So check. Go by the station.
What, did you overnight it or something?
Amazon. No, it's just Amazon. You know how they roll.
Oh,
okay.
Sweet.
Send somebody out there to the
just a little, box. Maybe a little humorous thing for you.
Thank you,
Haji. Enjoy.
Appreciate you.
See you tomorrow, guys.
John Hodge making his presence felt.
Superstar.
This afternoon on The Drive. His appearance on the show brought to you by our friends at the aforementioned FanDuel. We're so excited. Baseball is back here on The Drive. We are into baseball. The new person is a big Braves fan. I'm looking forward to bonding with him over that. There's nothing like watching a game with great weather, cold drink, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel's letting new users swing for the fences, risk-free. You get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win on FanDuel, they'll pay you at your winnings in as little as just 24 hours. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code DRIVE1. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. All right, quick timeout. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Twitter message from Don. Says, old man rant, went to the UT baseball game the other night. Really enjoyed it, except every break in the action requires a rock/rap concert to be played extremely loud, so you can't even talk to the person next to you. It's too bad sports venues believe we've got to be constantly entertained. Thanks.
Is that Don from Sweetwater?
It's just Don. I haven't been to a game over there, but I can see how that would be annoying. I mean, the baseball park There's a certain vibe you want when you go to the game. But I've noticed that in the big league games that I've been to. It's just like, man, it's just
way
an
too loud.
It's just an onslaught of sensory overload. That's a problem. Baseball, it's just.
Well, you got some 20-something-year-old up there cranking it out, and they don't understand, you know, dynamics and, you know, volume. You know, they don't understand mixing.
Well, they've been told to do that. I mean, it's every – the texture is right. Everything has to be a constant onslaught of entertainment right now, and any spot where there's not some sort of action – is unacceptable, which I find is...
Well, the action is the atmosphere being at the game, the dull din of the crowd between innings.
I agree with you, but that's just, I mean, that toothpaste
is out
of the tube. I've
got a tall glass lemonade sitting out already.
That toothpaste is never going back in the tube, but the thing that I find ironic about it, and people say this about Neyland Stadium and football and basketball games as well, is there's no timeout where it's just the band is playing or anything. It's got to be... an advertisement over the loudspeaker with graphics on the Jumbotron, the Kiss Cam, the Fun Patrol. Everything's got to be happening. Everything has to be scripted out down to the second. And the thing that's ironic about it is now that we all have our own personal computers that we take everywhere with us in our pocket, I don't think people are paying attention to that stuff as much anyway.
No. It's directly on your generation there.
Even at the Smokies game, I will whip my phone out during the game at times if I get bored. And it's just
I caught you looking at your phone quite a bit at that Foo Fighters show we went to.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that was loud. It's just that's the way it is now, and so I don't think it's likely to change. I've been over there to Lindsey Nelson. That would suck if the volume is such that you can't even carry on a conversation with whoever you're there with, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's the time where you eat a little popcorn, maybe some peanuts, and just talk. Yeah, I can deal with it for the football game, but, begrudgingly, but baseball is just kind of a different vibe.
I don't know. Is that a recruiting thing? Do they have to have a modern atmosphere to entice athletes to want to go there and to entice students
to want to go? Should
we
ask Coach about it?
To go to games? I mean, we can.
I mean, as far as a recruit, he's always been real upfront with us about, he's very candid about
it. I don't mind
playing
music over the loudspeakers during between innings. Like,
just
you got to have
it just
at a reasonable volume.
Not even like that. Like, dude, be professional about it.
I could be listening to the radio at a reasonable volume.
just makes it, you got to know what you're doing when you're up there controlling the knobs. You got to make it pleasant for everybody.
Make it pleasant.
Yeah. Nice balance.
The open practice has been confirmed for Saturday.
I hear we've got a visitor coming in for that. That blonde-headed kid, that four-star quarterback out of
Taven Jackson.
Is he out of Indiana?
Yeah, I saw where he's going to come down. Now, you can't do visits, right?
But he can come to the open practice.
Yeah, well, it's an open practice, so he can come just like anybody else.
None of the coaches can talk to him, can they?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I mean, I guess you could talk on the phone or message
because
and stuff.
Because of Gump, but we have to be extra careful right now.
Well, yeah, that too. But, I mean, that's a good idea, especially with what's going on with the Wade twins right now. Have you seen that?
No, huh? I've been out of loop.
They thought that Tennessee was in the driver's seat there, and they still might be. But the thinking now is that Kentucky's pitch, I swear to God, if we lose the Wade twins to freaking Kentucky.
You're gonna challenge Matt Jones
I might go postal, man.
I feel like you need to challenge Matt Jones to a boxing match. You think you can take Matt?
I'd do what I have to do. Yeah, I think
you're the dirtiest player in the game, Russ.
Well, he's soft. He's one of these political types, I mean,
you got me and Chance in your corner.
But so the thought was, and I don't know which one is it. The one that's a linebacker is a four-star, big-time prospect. The other one
badly needed
is a three-star. He's not as highly touted, but he's a quarterback. He plays quarterback for that team. He's a great high school quarterback, but he's probably not an SEC quarterback. But he wants to play quarterback. He wants to have a chance – to play quarterback. It's kind of like Randall Cobb, all right? He wants to.
Well, why don't you give the kid a chance to play quarterback?
That's what Tennessee's doing. That's the thing. That's what Tennessee's doing. And they're saying, yeah, we'll give you a chance to play quarterback. But we're also recruiting Taven Jackson, and maybe the door's not shut on Ty Simpson. That's Tennessee's thing. Kentucky's pitch is, you're our guy. You're our quarterback.
Because they want the linebacker. Twin.
Well, they want them both. Maybe he is their quarterback.
Yeah.
But their pitch is, we want you as our quarterback. We're not recruiting anybody else. You're number one on our board at QB.
Well, I mean, at that point, if I'm Tennessee, you just look him straight in the eye and you know, do you want to be a loser? Or do you want to come play, you know?
Yeah, I don't think the modern athlete's going to respond to that pitch.
Probably not, but
I don't think you can. I think that's a bad idea. So this is
maybe I was just workshopping.
But Tennessee has to. This is the tightrope that Heupel has to navigate here. And it was thought that, you know, Tennessee's the only SEC school that doesn't have a commitment yet for the class of 2022. This great in-state class that we've been talking about for so long. Okay, it's not Heupel's fault, but he does need some momentum. It was thought that if you get the Wade twins in the boat, that could be a little bit of a jump start. And maybe you're not necessarily reeling in all the four-star, you know, and get back in on Walter Nolan and Ty Simpson, but maybe you're getting the Caden Popes of the world. Maybe you get Fisher Anderson, the offensive lineman from the mid-state, a couple of other guys, and that starts some momentum to get a nice solid base to your signing class worked up this spring. If you don't get those guys, and I'm not pressing the panic button yet, but first of all, it would really suck to lose out on two kids that you want in your backyard. Second of all, it would really, really suck to lose out on them to stinking Kentucky. So they evidently they're on a visit tour, and they went and visited or are about to go visit Lexington one more time. Kentucky's putting the hard pitch on them. I believe they're supposed to announce on the 15th here, maybe a week from today. Maybe the 15th or 16th?
It's the 16th. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so next Friday. And I think they might come to Tennessee one more time. I mean, they're right up the road. But this is a big one. This is the first – since Ty Simpson, this is the first big recruiting challenge that Josh Heupel's faced since he's been here. And it's tough, man, because you're new on campus. I mean, Stoops has been there forever. Those kids have visited Stoops at Kentucky before COVID and all this stuff. They haven't visited Heupel at Tennessee, and they can't because of the NCAA dead period that's been going on for right at a year now. And it's a tough spot, but, man, you got to find a way to get those kids. Got to find a way.
We need linebackers.
Yeah, it's an important position.
Because I feel like if we had a pretty good – linebacker, like if Crouch and Toto weren't in the portal, we'd be in pretty decent shape, I'd feel like, across, because that, you know, Barron would be down the D-line. Our D-line's not, you know, too thin. Our back end, we need to get stronger, and then we could, you know, Heupel can concentrate on getting as much of his offense installed as possible before fall.
What rock landmark rock album Bear was released 24 years ago today?
Ooh, I saw this. Be 97. My brain's like Swiss cheese right now.
Tell you, our friend Trey Wallace, big fan. It's a big day in his life.
Oh, Third Eye Blind?
Third Eye Blind.
Semi Charm Kind of Life? Or what was the name of the album?
I don't know. It's garbage. Third Eye Blind album. Yeah. Not garbage, man.
It's absolute garbage.
No, Semi Charm Life comes on the radio. You tap your toe and sing along just like we all do.
No, I don't.
You're not fooling anyone.
No, I absolutely don't.
You're not fooling anyone.
I absolutely don't. There's a story behind it, but I'm not going there.
Jumper, you love that song.
Is that meth addled?
We all like that song.
No, I didn't.
It's not a great band. There's a reason behind it. It's okay.
There's a reason behind my unnatural hatred for it.
All right, that's fine, but you still like the
song. Yeah. No, I don't. Screwed over some friends of mine. That garbage band got pushed hard, and then they got screwed over. So Third Eye Blind,
nobody cares about your
meth, and they can go to hell. And you better watch your step.
Nobody cares about your little story. You're talking about, does the song rock or not? Does it rock or not? And the answer is yes, it rocks.
No, it doesn't.
Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.